Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of the Lord on this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving, for our God is a great God and greatly to be praised. Announcements were on the screens before you, so I hope you had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you as we gathered this morning. A few things that were not in the announcement or underscores, just so that we don't forget things. First, an announcement from our treasurer. I forgot the week before that. So 3 weeks ago, an envelope was put in the plates with some cash in it, which means it's very hard to trace down, but it was a sizable amount of cash, and we'd like to make sure that that gets credited to the receipt of whoever put that in. So if you placed a plain white envelope with a certain amount of cash in it, would be, as I say, 3 weeks ago. If you would let myself this morning or call the office and let the bookkeeper know that that came from you, we will credit that to your account. And it will go on tax receipts for next year. There are a couple of tax receipts of folks who are here in the building this morning. So if you didn't get your tax receipt last week, please speak to me before you disappear this morning. They're down in the office in all of the pre-service scampering. That got missed, but we'll make sure you get those after worship this morning. Here at St. John's, we're looking for a new office administrator, someone to take over both the reception and kind of normal office-type work, as well as the bookkeeping responsibilities. If you think you might be interested in that position, please speak to Cynthia after worship this morning. The annual meeting will be held on March the 3rd, so do plan to be here. And reports should be out in the next little while to go along with that. Don't forget that Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday. So we will be here with pancakes and all of that good stuff. Again, Susan and Cynthia are compiling a list to make sure that enough food is there for all. The seating is somewhat limited, and we're starting to fill up. So do make sure you speak to Susan or Cynthia, or call us here at the church office, and we'll add your name to the list. And then Wednesday is Ash Wednesday here at St. John's. We will be having an ecumenical service with our friends from Knox St. Paul's that we will be hosting on Wednesday afternoon, despite the fact that several of you have been kind enough already to point out that I put Thursday in the bulletin. Oh, and by the way, most of the bulletins that you have today, you will find at least three mistakes in. If you came in these doors over here, you get even more mistakes. Thank goodness there was a print error, and I was able to grab some and reprint them. So don't follow the bulletin too closely. I'm not even sure what's going to happen this morning. But we will get through it all. Oh, and the insert this morning for the women of the church is there. That's right. You can count on the women of the church. Everything else is up for grabs. But the notes on the information from the women of the church is there today. Please take a moment to look at that. And finally, it is with sadness that we mark the passing of Margaret Dubay, a longtime member of our congregation. Margaret has been out of town for the last several years with her, closer to her brother who was living in Brampton. And he called to inform us earlier this week that she had passed away. So our condolences to Margaret's family on that. And additionally, for folks who are longtime members here at St. John's, a former member, Ivan St. John, also passed away this past week. And I don't believe there are service. There is a funeral service at this time for Ivan. And I'm not going to forget Trish, who's going to come up and do the session report.
Session met by Zoom on Tuesday, February 6, 2024 at 7 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37, urging Jesus' followers to stay alert for his coming again. It was decided to let our office administrator go. We wish Jessica all the best in her future endeavors. Also, Darlene Pichet, our bookkeeper, has informed us that she will be retiring at the end of this month, and we thank her for her time with us and wish her well. We will be advertising a position that combines the two roles. It will be 20 hours per week. If you know anyone who might be interested in this position, please ask them to contact Keppel or Cynthia. Session put the final details together for the pancake supper on Tuesday, February 13th. We have a few spots left. Please see Susan after the service or call the office and leave a message if you would like to attend. Session is taking action regarding the financial shortfall we are experiencing. A small team will gather to discuss the issue, brainstorm ideas, and provide feedback. A comprehensive plan will be created to help guide our congregation into a healthy and sustainable future. We urge you to prayerfully consider being part of this important work. Susan McDonald reported on behalf of the House Committee. Caldwell Hall continues to be busy with the addition of two more pickleball groups. Michelle Alexis reported that the Worship and Music Committee is planning for the Megahi organ concert in an anniversary service. More details will be shared in the near future. Session approved a week of vacation time for Reverend Adams to attend a family event from February 29th to March 6th. We concluded the meeting with our ongoing study of the book, I Am a Church Member.
And as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we, his servants, seek to walk in his path. Let us stand as we come into the presence of the Lord, as we say together the call to worship for this morning as it appears before you on the screen. God said, "Out of darkness the light shall shine.
Shine your light into our hearts, O God."
The knowledge of God's glory shines in the face of Christ.
Glory to God, and praise to you, O Christ.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, you invite us to immerse ourselves in the stories of our faith. Today we watch with Peter and James and John as your glory bursts forth. We see your garments glistening white. With the disciples, we too wonder what it all means. We give you thanks for the reminder that in Jesus we are not alone, a truth that never changes. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was surrounded by the prophets of the past and by his disciples who would follow him into the future. Help us to recognize the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, to answer the call to be your disciples here and now, and to listen for the new prophets among us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is 290 in the Book of Praise, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, hymn 290, or as the words appear before you on the screen.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light it acts as a moment.
Friends, God alone is righteous. God alone is perfect. God alone is judge. Yet this holy, righteous God comes to us in love to save us. Rejoicing in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before us on the screen. God of glory, the light of your holiness exposes us in our sinfulness. You bear the secret thoughts we hide from each other. You see the wretched lives we dress up in our Sunday best. You know the motives behind our deeds, so often for our own gain, so seldom for your glory. In your grace, forgive us, O God. Help us to know our sins that we might repent of them truly. Lead us into the light of your glory, through mercy and forgiveness, in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God comes and does not keep silent. God speaks to us with grace and love, saying, "You are my beloved. This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen." Our hymn is number 763. To show by touch and word, let us sing the hymn from the books or as they appear on the screen. I see any young people this morning, but I was thinking this week, is everybody ready? Awful big afternoon for some of us. Have the snacks in? Chuck, you ready? 49ers or Chiefs, Chuck? 49ers, okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you then who I'm going to cheer for. I really don't have a dog in the hunt this year. Super Bowl Sunday. And that can be a big thing in the lives of people, you know, not just the people who play on Super Bowl Sunday. I remember in a former congregation, this was about the time of year when we always had the annual meeting. And I had one elder kind of, nope, can't have it that weekend. Well, why not? It's Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, but the Super Bowl doesn't start till 6 o'clock. Yeah, I know. But before you get to the Super Bowl, there's the pre-Super Bowl game, and there's the highlights from a last year's Super Bowl game, and there's a, you know, if you go home right now and turn on the TV, you're going to see Terry Bradshaw, who I really wish was playing in the Super Bowl this year to show my biases. But, yeah, there you go. But for some people, it's a big thing, and they need to get ready. They need to prepare themselves for the big game with all of the commentary and all of the statistics and all of the things that might go and happen, how their particular team that they're cheering for has performed this year. They need to be ready. And the same's true for us in our Christian faith, isn't it? We need to be ready. So that being Christian isn't just about the big game. Hi, this is the big game. There's already been a couple of fumbles and an error. But you have to be ready for the big game. And how do we do that? Through our own diligence and practice of prayer life and devotional reading, through reading our scriptures on a daily basis. Maybe you follow an online meditation. 1,000 different ways. We are truly blessed as Christians to have so many different ways that we can kind of keep touch with our faith. And so today, as we get ready for the game, and as you go home, when you, certainly by the time you get home this after worship, it's going to be on TV. But remember, as you're kind of walking past or trying to find something that you really want to watch and not those things, that it is an important reminder for us that all of us get ready and we prepare ourselves each week and strengthen ourselves in our faith as we do all of our regular devotions throughout the week to strengthen our faith. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, speak to us now, and let the fire of your Spirit burn brightly in our hearts. Open our minds to receive the wisdom of the law, the hope of the prophets, and the life of the gospel. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen.
Our first reading, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could see them no longer, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 50, verses 1 to 6, and the words will appear before you on the screens. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him.
He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Our third reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let the light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And now we will sing the hymn, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory." The words will appear before you on the screen.
Coming of the Lord, he is trampling out the vintage.
morning's gospel lesson, taken from Mark chapter 9, reading verses 2 to 9. Let us listen for God's word as we hear from Mark's gospel. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Catching light or catching fire in a bottle. Within the Celtic Christian tradition, there is the idea called thin places. These thin places are locations where God seems to be particularly close to us. Places where encounters with the divine just seem to be easier somehow, or seem to be more frequent. More people report their encounters with God in these moments. It would seem to make sense, though, too, doesn't it? Just not in the Celtic tradition of Christianity, but for all of us. Because often in Scripture, the biblical characters are depicted as going up onto a mountain to be with God. That somehow the act of ascending a mountain gets them closer to heaven. And indeed, that's what is happening in this morning's text. Jesus has gone up a mountain to be alone, to rest and renew, to be with God, to pray, and on this day, to experience the glory of God. Within Mark's gospel, there are three different accounts that, like today, draw back the curtain and reveal to us the glory of God. Three separate accounts where a thin place has been discovered. And this is one of them. Those three places, so that you know, are Jesus at his baptism today, at the Transfiguration, and at the moment of Christ's death upon the cross. In all three moments, like some earth-shaking thunderclap, the space between heaven and earth contracts, and for a moment, we're allowed to glimpse the glory of God. All three of these stories have a certain form about them. They follow a pattern, so they should stand out to us if we're reading our Bibles carefully and if we're not too forgetful as we read from one episode to the next. The first thing that happens is that the heavens break into the earthly realm. The second is that God's messengers descend. The dove at baptism, the clouds today, or the thick darkness of Good Friday. Then a voice from heaven is heard proclaiming Christ's divinity. That sonship is declared, and the apocalyptic prophets in one way or another, Moses and Elijah, show up. Those ones who are expected to be with us when God erects his kingdom make a brief appearance. And there is perhaps a sixth characteristic as well. Those who look on are uncertain about what to do. Like the disciples here in this story this morning, witnessing the light of heaven flooding in all around them and the great hope of their Hebrew faith being realized in the appearance of Moses and Elijah, the disciples are uncertain how they are supposed to respond. I suppose that shouldn't be too surprising. Wouldn't we be uncertain how to respond if the glory of God erupted in around us? They're uncertain how to respond because, well, they're out of time and place, right? Nothing appears as it did 5 minutes ago. Nothing appears as they have ever experienced it before. Heaven has come so close to earth that they feel that they can almost reach out and touch it. And God's glory shines all around them. As we think of Peter and James and John this morning, it's almost like some great comedic sketch that you might see on TV, where a character who has been in a darkened room is suddenly overwhelmed by a spotlight and then goes stumbling around, running into things, knocking things over because their eyes are not accustomed to the light. And so here, the disciples, well, they're stumbling about a little bit because they are not accustomed to seeing the light of the glory of God. Not knowing what else to say, Peter interrupts this divine moment with his words, "Rabbi, it's good that we are here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." What do you say when you don't know what to say? You say whatever pops into your mind first, usually not quite up to the moment. And I think that's what Peter does here too. Is Peter thinking about the wilderness wanderings that we read about in the book of Exodus? The wilderness wanderings of the children of God and how they pitched a tent wherever they went as a place to hold God's glory and to shelter the rest of the community from being overwhelmed by its light? Maybe. Is Peter thinking perhaps of the religious festival of Booths, that great celebration of the harvest held only 4 days after Yom Kippur, the day in which the people atone for their sins? And when people then live in their fields in booths made of palm branches? Maybe. Perhaps that's what Peter is thinking. Is Peter seeking to prolong this moment to kind of give Jesus and Moses and Elijah some time so that they can sit together? Maybe so. Or is Peter trying to figure how are we supposed to respond to God's glory? Mark doesn't tell us. Those are all details of the story that Mark leaves for us and our imaginations to fill in. For most of our married life, we've had the good fortune to live close enough to bodies of water that we've had the wonder of fireflies in our backyard during the warm evenings of the early summers. And from time to time throughout the years, one of our kids or another has come running into the house looking for a bottle. so that they can go out and catch the fireflies. I don't recall them ever being successful at the task. You know why. The reality of fireflies is that the light is fleeting. They're over there for a minute, and then the light disappears. And then it reappears over here someplace. But it's impossible to catch it and to hold it in a bottle. It is uncontrollable and elusive. Just like the glory of God that we witness here today. As soon as Peter started trying to figure out what to do with it, how to control the glory of God or how to contain it, how to preserve it for just a moment longer, and put all of this great revelation that he's witnessing into the bottle, Mark tells us that it's gone. And yet, for one brief moment, it was there. And its purpose had been fulfilled. The sonship of Christ had been made manifest right before their eyes. And they'd seen it. And it was wonderful in their sight. And then they went down the mountain, back to all those other people who had not yet seen the glory of God in Christ. And Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone. Not yet. They wouldn't understand." Just like the disciples up on the mountain didn't understand. Cannot understand the glory of God. You can only experience it. And isn't that the way in our own lives too? For each of us, there has been a moment, perhaps two or three or four, but moments, fleeting moments, when we have felt that God has been close to us and that we have been close to God. Perhaps in times of difficulty and hardship and suffering, when we've given our pain and our grief over to God and we've felt that sense of the burden being lifted from our shoulders and we know that for a moment God was with us. Perhaps it's something slightly more exciting. At that first moment when you finally put all of the Rubik's Cube pieces of Sunday school lessons together and everything clicked into place and all of a sudden you went, "Oh, now I understand what it's all about." And for a moment you're filled with that warmth and that glow of knowing that Christ died for you. Christ lives in you. Christ died for you. And knowing that your life will never be the same because of that moment. And we wish those moments could last forever, don't we? But then we go back down the mountain, back out into the world to our friends and neighbors who might not understand, back to the workaday world, and all too sudden, the glory of God seems to disappear. But that's the question that this text this morning raises. We know that, like Peter, we can't pause this moment. We can't put it in a bottle and screw the lid on tight to just kind of squirrel it away in the pantry somewhere. Once we have experienced the glory of God, the love of God, the peace and the comfort of God, then we need to learn how to continue to be nurtured by it without controlling it. And maybe that is the greatest gift of all, that the glory of God cannot be controlled, that it wanders away for a while, and then it sneaks up on us when we're least expecting it, like a shadow out of the corner of your eye. But you're not quite sure if you've seen it or not. But I think there was something there. As we look, it's interesting that the lectionary pairs these two readings together. This is a time of the year when those who develop the lectionary take the scriptural text, put it in a box, and go and shake it all up. Nothing's where it's supposed to be anymore. Right? We've just jumped from last week in Mark, when we were still in Mark chapter 1, and today we're in Mark chapter 9. We're at the transfiguration. We are seeing the glory of God. Oops. Almost went out of the camera. We're seeing the glory of God. I almost disappeared for a moment, just like the glory of God. And then next week, we come back and circle all the way around to the beginning of Mark's gospel when we deal with Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. There are years that I go, man, why do they do that? Why don't they just stick with the story? Let's put off the transfiguration till, I don't know, sometime in June when it's sunny and bright and there are fireflies outside. But maybe it's for this reason. Because we need to know about the glory of God as we prepare for next week and Jesus' temptation. And as we prepare for the weeks that lie ahead as we move forward toward the crucifixion and the resurrection, that we need to know that God's glory is in all of these stories that we will hear. That even when Jesus is sorely tempted, as we all are, we'll talk about that next week, God's glory is near to us. If only we could draw back the blinds so that the light could shine in. That will be our task as we move forward in worship. It's our task each and every day to pause for a moment as we start the day. Somebody once said, there's two sorts of people in the world. There's a person that lies in bed in the morning asleep, opens one slow eye and says, good God, it's morning. And then there are the others who open their eye and go, it's morning, good God. We come and give thanks to God for just a moment at the beginning of our day to maybe see in the little slivers of light of dawn that God is with us once more, as he was at the beginning and will be forever. And that God offers to us one moment to know his glory before we go off into the busyness of the day that so easily distracts or causes us to spare. But there's a moment when the glory is there. And perhaps, just perhaps, we will be able to say for the rest of the day, mine eyes have seen the glory. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, the God who speaks and summons the earth into being now speaks to us all, calling us to offer up our lives as a sacrifice of praise. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the light of love around us and the fire of faith within us. As we go forth from this place, let our lives reflect the one who is the image of your glory, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. And let us now continue in prayer. Let us pray. Mighty and merciful God, you have come to us in glory, and now we come to you in prayer, saying, Lord, in your Spirit, grant us what we ask. We pray, O Lord, for the glories of your creation. Help us to care for the world that we call home, to drive away the pollution and causes of harm to the environment, and to restore the beauty of your earth. We pray for the body of Christ, the church. Open our hearts in faith. Enlighten our minds with knowledge and strength to proclaim the gospel and to show forth to the world the wonders of your love. We pray for the people of all nations, that you will show the nations your vision of justice, and that you will offer leaders your mantle of wisdom, giving your people the blessing of peace. We pray for all those who are perishing. Feed those who are hungry. Comfort those who are suffering. And receive the dying into your eternal arms. We pray for those for whom we love. Bless our families and friends and neighbors. Help them in times of trouble and be near them when they are afraid. Holy One, make us ready for the day when this world will be transfigured, transformed, made new. When all things will shine with the dazzling light of your glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We close this morning in praise as we sing the hymn 376 in the Book of Praise, Shine, Jesus, Shine. The words for this hymn will also appear on the screen.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light.
Let us sing Alleluia, for the very face of God shines upon us with beauty, blessing, and peace. And now go and tell the good news. The Lord of life and light is with you. Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen.